Luke 17, the first verse. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. All right, now, I want to stop right there. The other night, I spoke some concerning this very thing. And tonight, it is brought back to my mind to minister a little bit on it again. You know, people need help. Now, I know that people need the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if people could get a hold of the revelation of Jesus Christ, they wouldn't need any help. If they had the revelation of the Lord Jesus, you wouldn't have to help them, because they would be in condition or a position in life to help somebody. But inasmuch as we're all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, we have to help one another. Isn't that right? So we all need help. Is that right? We need to get the revelation so we can help one another. Is that right? Everybody needs help. Is that right? But they've got to turn to the Word of God to get help. Is that right? There's only one source of true help, and that's from God. Is that right? So then we need the mind of God and the revelation of Christ that we might get the help that we need. For it comes from the mind of God, which comes from the revelation of Christ, which comes from the Word of God. Is that right? And so then, to get help from God, we've got to turn to the Word. And when we turn to the Word, to get help from the Word, we've got to have faith in the Word. Is that right? I cannot get any help from the Word of God unless I have faith in the Word of God. That's why so often I say that we need to have faith in the man that's doing the preaching. If you don't have any faith in the man that's doing the preaching, it's for sure that you're not going to get any help out of him. But when we got faith, when we have faith in the minister, and that minister has faith in the Word, then that minister can do something for us. He can perfect us in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the ministry is set in the body for the perfecting of the saints of God. Now, you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean when you say he is set there for the perfecting of the saints of God? Well, I want to explain this again. It doesn't mean that he is set there to perfect you from chewing and spitting. You follow me? It doesn't mean that he is set there to perfect you from hugging another man's wife. That's not what it is. He is set there for the perfecting of your faith. Now, it's wrong to do those things that I just made mention of. It's wrong to do evil. And the minister of God's going to preach against those evil things. It's his job to do that. It's his job to expound a more better way to you. But the minister has no power to take away your sins without the shedding of the blood of Christ. It takes the blood to do away with sin. And what Christ did at Calvary has been done once and for all. Brother Pike can't add anything to it. No other minister can add anything to it. No other prophet in the past or minister has ever added anything to it. What he did it alone. The Bible said he searched, he sought, he looked for somebody to bring salvation. But there was none, and he came and did it with his own hands. So then Christ has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the Bible said that Christ has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord. Is that right? So then by his own blood, he brought us to God. He sanctified us by his blood, by the offering of Christ. And the Bible tells us that we are sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Which faith ye are sanctified by, Paul tells us. And that we ought to contend for the faith until we come to the place to where we can believe the same way the saints of old believed. If they were human beings and they believed that way, then inasmuch as we are human beings, we also can believe in the same manner. So then, contend for the faith. When the writer said something about contending for the faith, he knew that it was going to be a fight. He knew that we were going to have a battle with the devil. And he knew that we were going to have to press our way into the kingdom of God. But he said, don't give up. Contend for the faith. Why do men die of diseases? It's because they give up. Why is it men go down in poverty? It's because they give up. Why is it that men lose out to the devil? Because they give up. Come on, folks, ain't but two ways, the right way or the wrong way. You either give up or go up with God. Amen, that's right. You give up and let the devil take over, or either you press your way into the kingdom of God by contending for the faith of Christ. Hallelujah, I like that, don't you? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, why do you think we ought to have the faith of Christ? Because the faith of Christ pleased God. The faith that was in the body of Jesus Christ overcomes sin and the tempter. The faith that was in the body of Christ pleased God. Amen. It never wavered. It never faltered. It never failed. And the Bible said, by that faith that he offered to God, God sanctified us through his spilt blood. So then God purifies our hearts by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the atonement, our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? So then we should contend for the faith. We should never stop until we have developed the same kind of faith that Jesus had. He was our example. We should follow in his steps. The Bible said he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And what we need to do is to walk every day in the steps of Jesus. One step at a time in the steps of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you this. You're going to meet opposition. You're going to meet resentment. You're going to meet haughtiness. You're going to meet contrariness. You're going to meet people that will do everything. Hallelujah. But encourage you. Is that right? What is this great thing? Let's talk about it a little bit tonight. How do you believe it's a great thing? What is this great thing that the prophets were so excited about, that Paul was so excited about, that Peter and James were so excited about, Brother Taylor so excited about? What is this great thing that's called the faith of Jesus Christ? It's something that God has made a gift to the church. It's something that is your inheritance and it belongs to you, and God wants you to have it. It belongs to you. Christ died for you to have it. Hallelujah. Some of you never will have it because you're not even concerned enough to even try to find out about it. But the Bible said, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Everyone that asketh receiveth. So then, this faith is a great thing. This faith has a great significance in your life and in my life. Why do I need the faith of Christ? Why do I need it? Because it is the only thing that can sanctify me. You say, but Brother Pike, you just quoted the scripture and you told me that I was sanctified by the blood of Jesus. That's right. There is no remission without the shedding of the blood. The reason for that is because the life is in the blood. And the life is in a perverted condition. And that blood, natural blood, is the beast body that took that life into perversion and into captivity in the garden in a natural birth. God's life was never intended to be in a natural birth.
God's life doesn't have to pass through the natural birth, but because of Adam's sins, because of Eve's weakness, God allowed it to be that way. Because of what his plans were in making a human being into a god, God allowed it to be that way. There is no other way to make a human being into a god except this way. Now, if you've got a better plan of making a human being into a god, you ought to talk to God about it. But according to all of my research through my life, all that I've ever studied in trying to find out why that God did things the way he did, I have learned that there is no other possible means to make a god out of a human being except through the manner that he's doing it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, God could have just created a man and put him out there and made him into a god and that would have been it. No, he couldn't have. He couldn't have done that. Somebody would say, but he could, because God can do all things. Can God lie? No. There are some things that God cannot do. Come on, folks. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He can't do it. So then there's certain things that we have to learn to work with because it's God's only way of doing it. Not because God is limited, but because you limit God. You say, God could have just took Adam and Eve and just made them into gods. He put them in the garden. He gave them everything they could have wanted. Is that right? He gave them life. He gave them fruits. He put them in the presence of the Shekinah glory. But he didn't make them into a god, did he? Now, it wasn't God's fault, was it? Was it? Somebody you know, they act like death is God's first cousin. That's right. They want to blame God with sickness. They want to blame God with heartaches. If their loved ones get killed, if there's a wreck, they want to blame God with it. Whatever takes place, they want to blame God with it. Isn't that right? But the Bible says that God delights in mercy, not judgment. The Bible says that death came by man, not God. God had nothing to do with death. God never made death. You understand? Man brought it into existence. Man is the one that sought out evil inventions. Man is the one that instigated death, not God. The Bible said death came by man, not God. So God didn't have anything to do with it. And I'm thankful because it came by man, then we have the power as a man to overcome it. If a man caused the problem, we have the power to take away the problem. Is that right? If man caused death to be upon the people, we've got the power to take death away from the people. That's why the prophets of old raised the dead. It's because they had the power over death. Today, we've got power over death. Somebody would say, aha, but why does preachers die? Because they don't use their power. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Somebody say, yeah, but just wait till you die, Brother Pike. It'll be the same with me as with them. It will be because I didn't use the power. Come on, folks. We've got power over death. Amen. God said, go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. Death came by man and not by God. God has never had any pleasure in death. The man that turned his face to the wall said, God, I cannot glorify thee in the grave. I can't praise thee in the grave. If I go down to the grave, the dead know not anything. I can't praise you there. But as long as I'm in the land of the living, I can praise you. So then God wants us to live. God wants us to live. God wants us to live and not die. It's not God's pleasure for us to die. The Bible teaches that God has no pleasure even in the death of the wicked. Even when the wicked die, God's not pleased with it. He'd rather they'd repented of their sins and lived on. That's a wonderful God, isn't it? So then, what is this wonderful thing called the faith of Jesus Christ? It is the only thing that can turn death away. It's the only thing that can move sickness away. It's the only thing that can bring salvation and bring divine deliverance to them that are in prison and in bondage to the evils of this world. The only thing, the faith of Jesus Christ. I can't help but get excited every time I think about it. The faith of Christ. Now I've got my faith. You've got your faith. But I'm talking about Christ's faith. Hallelujah. A lot of times with your faith, you might say to a blind man, be thou healed, but he's not healed. You might say to a deaf man, be thou healed, but he's not healed. But brother, any time the faith of Christ comes present, his eyes are open, his ears are open, and the blind can see, and the dumb can talk, and the crippled can get up and walk. Anytime the faith of Christ comes present. So then we need this faith. The church needs this faith. What other reason is there for us having the faith? Because Enoch was translated by faith. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, there's one thing that I don't understand. If Enoch was translated by faith, what about faithful Abraham, who was made father of the faithful? Come on now. What is the difference? We're talking about two different kinds of faith. I brought out a little on this the other night. Two different kinds of faith. One of the writers said, faith without works is dead. What kind of faith is that? The faith of Jesus Christ? No. His works was finished from the foundation of the world. Then what kind of faith is it that's dead? It's your faith. It takes works to bring your faith to life. Then does my faith heal a sick man? No. Then what faith can heal a sick man? Christ's faith. Then what good is my faith? My faith is good for making contact with his faith. That's why God has given man faith, is that man might work and labor and perfect his faith in the ways of God, in the Word of God, and then in perfecting his faith, he can make his faith touch Christ's faith. And the very minute that man's faith touches God's faith, something begins to happen. And you know what? God has made it so easy for man to touch the faith of Christ. How do you know that? He has made it so easy. I can touch the faith of Christ so easy. A lot of people would say, oh, Brother Pike, I can't seem to touch it that easy. But you could if you live right. If you live holy before God, upright. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel that I can live holy enough that that's my trouble. No, that's not your trouble. Because if that's your trouble, then that would be my trouble too. Because I can't live holy enough either. But God never called me to righteousness through mine own holiness. Is that right? Is that right? Peter said, don't look on me like I healed this man through my holiness. Is that right? Through my goodness. Said, but the faith which is by him hath made this man whole. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, he was talking about the faith that was by the man. That's right, the faith that was by the man that was in the faith of him. That's exactly right. The faith of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, well, I don't see that. Then why was it as Jesus walked along the shores of Galilee when he wanted to heal the people, the Bible said many mighty things he could not do because of their unbelief. It wasn't because of Christ's unbelief. If it was, then why did Christ heal him in other places? It was because of their unbelief. It's not a matter of you being holy, or that is holy enough to make contact with God. God has not left holiness up to us. Holiness is up to God. There is but one holiness, that is the Spirit of God. I know the Bible tells us that we are to perfect holiness unto God. I am not ignorant of that, no more than you are. But what is the perfecting of holiness unto God? He has set a fivefold ministry in the body for what? To perfect you in holiness? Yes and no. Yes, to perfect you in holiness, in that God justifies you by faith. In that God purifies your heart in holiness by faith. You follow me? So then the ministry is there for that purpose. But the truth of it is that the ministry is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is for the perfecting of your faith. The Bible said God has set the ministry for the perfecting of your faith, the perfecting of the saints. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. What has faith got to do with it? God justified Abraham by faith. Is that right? We're justified by faith. That's what Paul had the dispute with Peter over, was the justification by faith. They had a difference over it. When the people from James came up, Peter began to turn away from the faith and go back under the law. And it upset Paul because Paul had the revelation. And Paul said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, Peter. In other words, I don't deny that you've got the keys to the kingdom. But what good is the keys to the kingdom without the kingdom? What is the kingdom? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Somebody said, now you don't really believe that. I sure do. You mean to tell me that you believe the revelation of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God? That's all there is to it? What do you mean, all there is to it? In the beginning was God, the spiritual word of revelation. How do you know that? And the Bible says the law and the prophets were till John. Since that time, the revelation's been preached. The kingdom of God is something you preach. It's something you believe in. And Christ is faith is the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith in what? Faith in the mind of Christ. And what does it do? It changes us into the body of Christ. And what does that do? Then the God changes the world into his liking. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So then, brethren, we are dead, as Paul said, not to live after the flesh. For if we live after the carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death. If we walk after the flesh, then we die. But if we have faith in God and believe, then we have eternal life. Let's just look at it a few minutes the way Paul looked at it. First of all, Paul said that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto faith. Is that right? God wasn't talking about the law being a schoolmaster to bring us to the place to where we could believe. Now come on, folks. I said God wasn't talking about the law being a schoolmaster to bring us to where we could believe. That wasn't what Christ was speaking of. You say, how do you know that? Because Moses believed. Abraham believed. The others believed. There was no need for Jesus to die to bring us to a place to believe. Men always believed down through the ages. Then what was he talking about? That we was kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Come on, folks. If it's your faith, what is it doing being revealed? You had it all the time. Have you believed you can pick up a chair and sit down a chair and sit down in the chair and get back up? That's your faith. But God was speaking of the faith of Christ, which faith sanctifies you. We were shut up under the law, under the tutors, until the revelation of the faith of Christ. What brings us to faith of Christ? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe in the faith of Christ, so then I got the faith of Christ. That settles it. The devil really makes it sound simple, don't he? Don't he? So simple you'll just turn away and go your way and never bother to find out what it's all about. But Paul teaches it's not quite so simple. Paul speaks of it like this, that great is the mystery of godliness. And I'm made a student of the mysteries, is that right? In other words, we can't go on a 15-day fast and get a big tent and a television program and rule the world, can we? Can we? We can't take every woman that comes along and prophesy over and say, yea, daughter this and yea, daughter that, and put 50,000 women out preaching. Come on, folks. We can't take every little boy and girl that some man's lusting after or some woman and put them out there and let them dance a jig and run off and preach. That isn't the way God does it, is it? It takes more than that. It takes more than that. Then what is God talking about? He's talking about a revelational mind of God that's a great mystery. And he's talking about a faith that this great mystery contains. And he says to have this great faith, you've got to contend for it. You've got to do more than just read a book. You've got to do more than just listen to a tape. You've got to do more than just get up and preach a sermon or go on a 10-day fast. You've got to spend some time talking with God and to come into this place that God wants you in to contend for this faith. It's something great that God's got for you. We run across the land, you know, and we got discernment. We got discernment, all right. A lot of you got the gift of suspicion. That's right, it ain't the gift of God. It ain't the gift of discernment. You're discerning everything and don't know nothing. You're telling people what to do when you don't know what to do yourself. Come on, folks. But I'm talking about God, a real, truly living God. So then there's a revelation, there's a spirit, there's a mind, there's a faith. Why is it that the church hasn't already been translated? Tell me. Tell me. Why is it? Why is it? Come on. Why is it that they've not already been translated? We've had Oral Roberts. We've had A. Allen. We've had all kind of preachers, all kind of ministers. Why hasn't it been translated? Somebody said, well, it just wasn't time. Is that right? I wonder what happened to Enoch. He got out of time. Is that right? I said, I wonder what happened to him. It must have been time way back yonder, wouldn't you say? Seemed like God had everything ready back there. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. Is that right? Why was it? He walked with God 300 years. And Enoch spent that 300 years trying to understand God. While the rest of them spent it doing something else. Somebody say amen. Some of the rest of them would rather build a church, you know, and get them a congregation so that they can get some money to where they won't have to work because they're too lazy to work. Somebody say amen. Somebody else would rather go and do an evangelistic crusade and crusade every pocketbook they can get because they're too lazy to work and they're trying to thrill people. But God's got something for the church. Hallelujah. Something the church has not received as of yet. That's why it hasn't been translated. It hasn't laid hold on the faith of Christ. Enoch laid hold on the faith of Christ. Why haven't they laid hold on the faith of Christ? Because the preacher's been too interested in the lady folks. Come on, folks. He's got to get back at the corner and shake hands with everybody that comes out, you know, and rub the sister's hand, and his mind's on the ladies all the time. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. He wants to be a pretty boy and dance up and down the floor, lay hands on the ladies and go, ooh, and shove somebody down. Come on, folks. Somebody said, are you mocking? Yes, the devil. Just like Elijah did. When Elijah mocked him and said, maybe he's off on a far journey. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe something else has happened to him. Hallelujah. But not mocking God, for God is not mocked. Amen. Men have not been interested in God's people. They've been interested in every dollar they could get out of them. They've been interested in fame and popularity. They've been interested in everything that they can take the church for. But they've not loved the church. But God said the true shepherd loves the sheep. God said, I will remove those shepherds. I will raise up shepherds after my own heart. That will feed the sheep and not themselves. How many of you know there's a revival that's over out there? I predicted a long time ago, I said, by 1970 the lights will be well on their way out. You say, what's taking place, Brother Pike? God's changing shepherds. Come on.
God's changing shepherds. Amen. God's looking for some shepherds after his own heart. Is that right? Hallelujah. God loves his people, folks. Whether you believe it or not, he does. God's concerned about his people. God's not concerned about their money. God's not concerned about their wealth. God is concerned about them. So then there is something that we need. Hallelujah. What is that? The faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Christ. That's what we need. They sang a little song. That's what we need. Well, that's what we need. You love the Lord? I'm a little tired tonight. I didn't hardly get a breather until just before church. But I tell you something tonight. This is a great thing. I've got a few more things I want to say to you. And I want you to fit them together tonight. The faith of Christ, what does it mean to you and I? We've got to have it. There's no way to get around the faith of Christ. Why? Because by the faith of Christ, we're sanctified. Now, I want you to see this. Now, I can believe in the atonement. Is that right? It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that right? Now, that don't mean that you can just run through the land and say, oh, God, have mercy on me, and you're saved. That doesn't mean that at all. Is that right? It don't mean that. But it means this. When the man told Paul, said, be baptized, wash away your sins. Be baptized, wash away your sins. Be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Somebody said, but I believe it's the way that Billy Graham says. All you got to do is just say, Lord. No, sir. The Bible said you might say, Lord, Lord, but that won't do you any good. Amen. He said, many will say, Lord, Lord, but that won't do them any good. That's not calling on the name of the Lord. Come on, folks. I'm talking about calling on the name of the Lord. What do you mean, Brother Pike? Calling on the name of the Lord. 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 There's faith in Christ. There's deliverance in the name. And the devil shake at the name. Calling on the name of the Lord. I'm talking about calling on the name of the Lord. See, there's something in the name of the Lord. What is in the name of the Lord? The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it. And they are saved. How do you get into it? Is that right? Calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Is that right? And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Having faith. Having faith in the name of the Lord. There is salvation in none other name. Remission of sin is salvation. Is that right? Is that right? Salvation is in the name, and the remission of sin is salvation. You ever tried to get salvation without remitting your sins? You follow me? Calling on the name of the Lord. He said, Paul, be baptized. Remit your sins. Wash away your sins. How can I do it? By calling upon the name of the Lord. See, the name of the Lord means something. He said, I will not hold them blameless that takes my name in vain. Is that right? Come on, folks. Somebody said, you mean curse a little bit? That ain't taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's just a little profanity. That's just a little confused mind that can't get the word straightened out. I'm talking about taking the name of the Lord in vain. How can you do that? That's a hypocrite. Amen. He says he is when he ain't, and he's carrying the name in vain. Come on. He causes everybody to get mixed up. Carrying the name of the Lord in vain. It's in vain because God won't reward him for it. But we're not carrying the name of the Lord in vain. Hallelujah. We've not served the Lord in vain. We're calling on the name of the Lord. How do we call on the name of the Lord? Every day, every minute, every hour.
We walk in His name. We're baptized in His name. We speak in His name. We testify in His name. It's not us that liveth, but Him which is His name. You follow me? Contending for the faith. Where is the faith? In the name. Cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Is that right? So then, what is this great thing? It is the faith of Christ. What are we doing? We are contending for it. How do you contend for it? By perfecting holiness unto the Lord. Now look, your holiness is of God. I want you to see this. The Jews went about to establish their own holiness. They went about to establish their own righteousness. Is that right? But they stumble at the stumbling stone, which was the righteousness of God. And when the people stood up in the temple, one of the men said, I thank God I'm not like the others. I pay tithes and I do all of this. I fast. The other one just looked up and beat on his breast and said, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Come on, folks. I'm talking about the church world. It said this churchgoer fasted twice a week. Are you doing that good? I said, are you doing that good? He said, I pay tithe of all that I possess. Are you doing that good? He was a good church member, wasn't he? Better than the ones I got here, isn't that right? Church members, is that right? You fast twice a week, you pay tithe of all that you possess. God said that isn't good enough. That isn't good enough. The fellow could have said, well, God, what do you want to do? Starve me to death? I fast twice a week. What do you want to do? Take everything I got and give you tithe of all I possess. But God said that isn't good enough. And then Jesus warned him, he said, lest your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and of the scribes, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. What was he speaking of? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Lest you become heir by faith in God to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness that exceeds that of ritualistics, that of fasting, that of praying, that of giving tithe, that of doing those things that's from the past. Lest you come into His righteousness, your self-righteous rags will not do. So he turned the Jews away and went to the Gentiles. The Jews fasting and praying, and he walked off and left them and went over to a bunch of Gentile folks that didn't know nothing about nothing and wasn't doing nothing. Come on. Found his bride. Self-righteous rags won't do, will it? Then you say, Brother Pike, what have we got to do? You mean to tell me there's no profit in fasting? There's no profit in paying tithe? Jesus said, this you ought to have done, not left the other undone, like judgment or mercy. Is that right? All of it was good. The man was doing good. Fasting twice a week, that was good. Commendable in the sight of God. Paying tithe of all he possessed, that was commendable in the sight of God. But Christ knew that the translation of the body and of the spirit is a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. There is no eternal life in paying tithe. There is no eternal life in doing without food. It is a spiritual kingdom. We've got to be translated into it by the spiritual act of God. There's a faith of Christ. And there's only one righteousness that is sufficient for that, and that is the righteousness of the Son of God by which we're sanctified. So then, we should fast. We should pray. We should sanctify ourselves daily. But that's not under salvation. We are sanctifying ourselves. We are perfecting holiness unto God. We're fasting. We're praying. But what are we doing it for? We are doing that, as Paul said, that we might have a clear conscience, void of offense toward man and toward God at all times. Why? So that our faith will lay hold on the faith that sanctifies us. by which our hearts are purified. Is that right? The faith of Jesus Christ. What for? Because Paul said that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Now I made the statement a number of times. Somebody said Enoch's got to come back and die. Enoch won't come back and die. If he does, the scriptures is broken. People that teach that don't know what they're talking about. They're altering and changing the word of God. The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. That was the purpose of the translation to begin with. Why are you translated? Why am I translated? That we should not see death. Is that right? That's why that the church today has not been changed in the bodily redemption. It's not because they've not received the Spirit of Christ, because they have. A man that's received the Holy Ghost has received the Spirit of Christ. But I made the statement this morning, when you receive the Spirit of Christ, you're just like a little baby that's just been born into the world. The baby has life. But the life in the baby can't do what the life in the mother and daddy can do, because it's never grown into the fullness of the stature. It's got to be nourished. It's got to be tutored. It's got to be trained. It's got to be loved. It's got to be cared for. That's why Jesus said, feed my lambs. But if you nurse it, you work with life, then it'll grow up into manhood. But if you're not careful, that little life will die. It will perish before it ever gets big enough to take its part. Isn't that right? You can kill out a little Christian. You kill him out. He's got a little life in him, but you smother him to death. Be too hard on him, beat him to death. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then, we was to receive power. After that the Holy Ghost come upon us, we was to receive power. And we do have power. For the original rendering was, ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We do have power. The Bible said that Jesus was led into the wilderness and returned in the power of the Spirit after 40 days of fasting. And I brought that out here one night, that he didn't return in the power of the Spirit because he fasted 40 days. No, that wasn't it. I proved that one night on tape. They've got it. That wasn't the reason. The 40-day fasting, he didn't go in there to fast 40 days. If he came back with the power to do all those things after 40 days, then why is it all these other fellows that's fasted 40 days can't do the same thing? Somebody said, well, they can. I know they can, but they ain't doing it. What about that part of it? That wasn't what Christ did. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He went in there to do more than fasting. The Bible said he went there to be tempted of the devil 40 days and nights. And those days he did eat nothing because the temptation was so great. He went there to conquer the devil, to conquer the flesh. 40 days of fasting don't conquer the flesh. I've seen men fast 40 days and 30 days and 20 days. Some of them will come off of those fasting and be a sex maniac. Come on, folks. Be worse than ever. Covet is more after money, more after fame, more after popularity. You understand what I'm saying? The church has never come into the faith of Christ. If it ever comes into the faith of Christ, the world will be absent of the church. How do you know that the church is the salt of the earth? And without the salt, the meat will spoil. Is that right? That's why Elisha put the salt into the water. The people are the water. And we're the salt. And when God puts us in the waters, it heals the waters. It takes the evil out of the waters. Is that right? Because we're the salt of the earth. Now, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's no more good but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. We should always be salty, isn't that right? Now, I want you to look at this just for a minute or two now, and I'm going to let you go. Why do we need the faith of Christ? Because it's the only way we can be translated. It's the only way we can be healed. It's the only way we can be saved. Now look at it like this for just a minute. Look at the confession that comes from the faith. The Bible said that he witnessed, look at our leader Jesus Christ, that he witnessed a good confession before Pilate. Is that right? That was a good confession, wasn't it? Who was it? Nathan Hale on the 22nd of September night or 1776 when he was executed for being an American spy. What was it he said? I regret but one thing, and that is I don't have but one life to give for my country. That's the attitude of a witness of a good confession. That's better than some people do for Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So then, what is this great faith in God? What does it do? What does it mean to us? What does that faith mean? Now look at it like this for a minute. Why is it that a person will die and not be healed when such a great thing is available? In that there's a bomb in Gilead. In that this great faith is right within our reach. Why does a person die? You know why? Because they never confess that faith. I want you to get this. They never make a confession of that faith. Why does the Bible use the terms that Christ is the high priest of our confession? Come on. Why is it somebody would say, Brother Pike, there's one thing that I just don't understand. Why is it that I've got salvation when I believe and I don't have my healing when I believe? You want to know why? Because you made a confession of salvation, isn't that right? Every day of your life you confess to the world by your deeds, you confess to the world by your words that you believe that Christ has saved your soul from hell. Is that right? And Christ, who is the high priest of our confession, cannot deny that confession. Providing that it is a confession of faith. You see what I'm saying? Now Jesus said, with your lips you serve me, but your hearts are far from me. I'm talking about when the heart confesses faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For thou canst believe in thine heart that God hath for Christ's sake raised him up from the dead. Is that right? If you can believe that in your heart and then confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Come on, folks. He said that there was more than just trying to believe it in your heart. If thou canst believe it in your heart and then confess it with your mouth. Is that right? Why? Because with the heart, man can believe to the Spirit. But the Bible says that we are justified by our words or we are condemned by our words. Our confession decides or determines what our justification will be. How have you followed me? I can believe with my heart, but until I make a confession, when my heart confesses faith, if a person that is sick, really genuinely sick, can believe in their heart that by the stripes of Christ they were healed, and if they make an open confession to it today and tomorrow and the next day and really believe it, there's nothing that can keep them from being healed. Nothing. If that person isn't healed, then the word of God will be broken. It is impossible but that they should be healed. So then, it takes a confession. Because he is the high priest of my confession. Whatever I confess. Is that right? Now you say, but Brother Pike, what about what Jesus said in Mark? Somebody would say, according to the Bible in Mark, he said, if any man can believe in his heart and doubt not. Isn't that what it says? Somebody said, he said, if you believe in your heart and doubt not. Somebody said, see, that knocks everything in the head you're saying. No, it don't. He said, if thou canst believe in thine heart and doubt not, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It's still a confession. It's what he says that God notices. It's when we take God at his word and we begin to confess our healing every day of our life and lean on God. But you know what gets wrong with us? We're afraid to do that. We keep telling ourselves, what if I say I am when I ain't? What if I say I am and then I die? Don't be foolish. It won't make any difference anyway. After you're dead and gone, you won't have to worry about it anyway. Because if you say you're healed when you ain't, if it's serious enough for you to die, there won't be no need to worry about it, what people think. But folks, when we take the word of God and we make the word of God our absolute, and we lean upon the word of God, and we say that's God's word, and I'm going to believe in God's word, and whatever God's word says, that's what I'm going to do. Then, folks, we'll get our healing. When we cut loose from the dock, when we turn loose, and we get out there in the winds of Christ, and we set our sails up and head for the other side, and don't look back and say, live, die, sink, or swim. Christ said it, and I believe it. Amen. And you confess it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, what if I don't feel like it? Confess it anyway. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I can't confess a lie. If it's a lie, you got no business believing it. Amen. But what makes you think it's a lie? Somebody said, well, if I say it when I'm not, then why did Jesus say, let the weak say I'm strong? Did they tell a lie? Did they tell a lie? He said they were weak, but let them say that they were strong. Is that lying? No, that's not lying. You know why? Because Christ Jesus knows the very minute that they truly confess strength, God has provided strength. There ain't no lie to it. When you confess the word of God, you're confessing strength and you're confessing truth. You're not confessing what you think about it and what you are. You're confessing what he said about it, and what he said about it can't fail. Hallelujah. He is the high priest of the word of our confession. Is that right? Christ is our high priest. If I can believe in my heart and confess it. If you're sick tonight, let me tell you something. Before you leave this sanctuary tonight, you purpose in your heart. The Bible said, decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. Decree that thing in your heart, sit down with God in it, and say, God, I'm healed because God's word says I'm healed. From now on, everybody you see and have a chance to witness to, I don't care if you're about to fall over on your face. If the blood's coming out your ears, say, by stripes I'm healed. God said so. And I'll guarantee you something will happen in your life. Strength, help, power, deliverance will come into your life. He'll renew your youth. He'll pick you up on wings of eagle and take you into places you've never seen before. Christ will heal you. Christ will bless you. Christ will lift you up. But folks, if you go around saying, I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, and all the time down here, you don't think that. You don't believe that. You're not really trying to believe that. You're just going around like a mimic and saying it because somebody told you to say it. You ain't going to get nowhere. But when you, with all your sincerity and all the ability that you have to do it with, sincerely say, praise God, what I want, I've got. It don't make no difference. It don't have to be healing. It can be prosperity. It can be blessings. It can be anything that your heart desires, whatever you desire. When you pray, believe that you have it and ye shall receive it. Is that right? Just confess it. I've done it many times. Hallelujah. I told you one night how I confessed an automobile, didn't have one. Prayed about it. God told me to give it to me. I went up front the trailer and I said, God, just give me an automobile. I said, hallelujah. I went out and told the pastor, I said, God, just give me an automobile. I said, ain't that wonderful? And he just looked at me like I was out of my senses, you know. But I believe it was about the next day or two, I pulled up in a nice, nice automobile. All paid for. God gave it to me. Didn't even use a Pentecostal to do it with. Took somebody out of the nominal church and sent them over. And caused them to buy me an automobile and pay cash for it. Someone that could afford it. Whatever you ask in my name. I'll tell you one thing. I'd hate to try to operate around here if I didn't have faith.
That's right. When you need tens of thousands of dollars, you better have faith. All right, I want you to stand with me. I love you tonight. I'm tired, weary, worn. I'd like to got into this a little more than I did. But being tired and weary, I've done the best I could. And I hope I've said something tonight that'll live with you from now on. Appreciate your kind attention. Folks, listen. You can be great with God tonight. You don't have to be some special fellow, you know. Some people feel like if you're not a, what the world calls a cool guy, ain't that what they call him? You know, with a long, slender nose. You know, if your nose don't look just right and you don't roll your eyes just right and if you ain't got enough hair on your head, you could never be a deliverer for God. Elijah had a hard time, wouldn't he? But let me tell you something tonight. God is not interested in what you look like. God is interested in what you are. What are you tonight? What are you? You got the greatest opportunity of anybody that ever lived on the face of the earth. Folks, I wish I could be back in Jesus' day or with Paul or with Abraham. Folks, those people long for this day. What is the difference? This is the day when we've changed from man to God. This is the day when we're no longer men, we're gods. Jesus said, "Ye are gods." They longed to see that day because they knew that was God's plan from the beginning, was to make a man into a god. And we have come into that age. Ye are no longer men, but gods. What are gods? Gods are those that can't die. That's what a god is. He can't die. Jesus said, "Ye are gods, but you die like men." Why? Because of your unbelief. Why should you die if you're a god? You know what we need to do is get up and be about our Father's business. You know what stops us? Paul gave the secret to it. Lay aside the weights that does so easily beset you. Isn't that right? Quit chewing and spitting. That so easily can beset you. Quit dipping the snuff, you know. That so easily beset you and puffing on a weed. Somebody said I wouldn't do that for nothing. Get that little bit of gossip out of the corner of your mouth. How many of you know when you chew the cud, that's type of something spiritual? A lot of people don't chew tobacco. They don't have time. They chew on their neighbor all the time. That's right. So then, what we need to do is lay aside the things that does so easily beset us. Them things kill our faith. Them things bring condemnation. Little old bitty things get in our heart because we tell everybody what we think about it. God don't care what you think about it. Somebody come up here and they're golfing and say, "Well, I'll tell you what I think about God, about Brother Pike." As the world said, God could care less what you think about Brother Pike. He ain't interested in what you think about Brother Pike. Brother Pike ain't interested in what you think about him either. I'm interested in what God thinks about me. Somebody said, "But what if I don't think the right thing about you?" That don't mean nothing. God said, "If your ways please me, Brother Pike, I'll make your enemies be at peace with you. You just let them rise up before you. I'll take care of them." Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. He said, "If you'd walk in the ways of God, I'll put the fear of all the land, of you upon all the land. And they'll be afraid of you because you're called by my name." Amen. They'll be afraid of you because you're a church of God. Be afraid of you because they say you're assembly of God. Be afraid of you because they know you belong to the Baptist church. No, it wasn't what he said, was he? It's in Jesus' name, folks. Somebody say, "Brother Pike, don't tell me you're oneness." What are you, two-ness or three-ness? I got a right to be oneness if you got a right to be three-ness. I got more Bible for oneness than you have threeness. Amen. Two-ness. Amen. So, well, are you a oneness? No, I'm a Christian. What are you? Amen. So them Jesus' name folks, them folks that are called by my name, that's the people. Amen. Them that are called by my name. Let me say this, folks, right hurriedly. God came here for one reason. If you're called by the name Jesus, he'll put the fear of God in your on them people out there, they'll be afraid of you. That's the fear of God. They'll be afraid of you. Is that right? That's what he told them when he went into Canaan. Your wisdom will cause the people to fear you. So then, we're God's people tonight. He came for one purpose. And I want you to understand this. That purpose the church of God cheated him out of. That purpose the assemblies of God cheated him out of. That purpose the Baptist cheated him out of. He said, I've come for one purpose, and that's to make myself a name. What is his name? Jesus. Jesus. Somebody said, but if you talk about Jesus too much, he'll call you Jesus only. Well, what do you care? I don't care what they call me. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if they call you Jesus only, nobody won't listen at you. I don't know. They've called me that in the past, and I've had a lot of folks to listen at me. Reached thousands of people. Didn't mean a thing. Folks, let me tell you, when you got the Word of God, folks is going to listen at you. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. You've been a good audience tonight, a real good audience. You've listened real good. And I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And I say these things the way I do to stir you up, to bring to your remembrance these things. Peter said, though I know that you know them, yet it's to stir you up. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel to stir up your pure minds in Christ. So then, I say these things not to cross-examine you, but just to make you think, to quicken something to your mind. Something is happening, folks. There's some things that's taking place. I hope as I go on within a few days from time to time that I'll be able to bring them out. Tonight, I just felt like talking to you a little bit about faith. And I hope it's done you some good. And I know it will do you some good if you'll use it. Tonight, if you'll go forth confessing the Word of God. Remember this, that with Calvary, your sins are behind you. With Calvary, you don't have any more sickness. With Calvary, you don't have any more death. From Calvary, you don't have any more problems. From Calvary. Today, you're not the old man that you used to be, as the song said. But today, you're the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no sickness in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no problems in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? You are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your sickness because he became you in death that you might become him in life. And he died out of the presence of the Father for your sake that you might live in the presence of the Father for his sake. So today you are in the presence of the Father without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. And the only reason that you have to live holy, walk holy, is not because of justification. That doesn't help you a bit. That doesn't justify you a bit. When you stumble and stagger, you're just as holy as you was before you stumbled and staggered. Because your holiness is of God, your sanctification is by his blood. He has made you perfect forever. But if you don't walk holy and live holy, do holy, you can't believe in what he has appropriated for you in Christ. And because of your unbelief, you're cut off. And the reason for your unbelief is because of your carelessness of not conforming to his desire and not walking circumspectively before God. So then your faith without your works is dead. Is that right? That's what the writer said. But Paul said, you are justified by faith without works. Speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ, that's the faith that doesn't require any works. So then, to understand is better than riches and better than gold. The people perish from the lack of knowledge and understanding, godly knowledge. Great is the mystery of godliness. But folks, it's given unto the saints to know the mysteries. You believe that? It's given unto the saints. Peter said, why is it you speak to these people, or the writers did there, the apostles? Said, why do you speak to these people in parables? So they don't know what you're talking about, Lord. He said, it's not given to them to know the mysteries. You just go preach to them. That's all you do. They repent of their sins. But see, It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, because the faith of Christ is in the mysteries. Isn't that right? And when the last angel sound, the mysteries was to be finished. And with the mysteries finished, the faith was to come. And when the faith of Christ come, the man child went up to the throne. Isn't that right? When did that happen? At the end of the church ages. So then, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. And we're set here for the perfecting of your faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. And if we tell you your inheritance by the word, if you can believe, you're changed from faith to faith. Every time a potion of the word comes, a faith comes. Isn't that right? Every time a faith comes, a glory comes. What's a glory? The inspiration of revelation. That's what it is. The inspiration of revelation. Every time a faith comes, every time a sermon comes, faith comes. Every time faith comes, a glory comes. Because you're changed from faith to faith, from glory to glory, into His image. Is that right? As a little of His mind comes, we're changed a little more into Him. As we believe in it, until finally we're changed into the complete image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So then we're perfecting your faith, receiving by measure and in part, ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. So good to be a Christian. Let's sing this little chorus. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me, will you? Leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fat, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. How many of you believe that you can take it to the Lord and leave it there? I want to sing another chorus And I'm going to ask you to come around the altar for just a few minutes, will you? While we're singing, I'll pray a prayer for you. Instead of praying individually for the sick tonight, I'll pray a prayer for you tonight. If you're sick in your body tonight, folks, I'll pray for you. And I believe God will heal you. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost just talking about it. I believe you. I know you believe it because I can feel it coming back up here. Hallelujah. I can feel the Holy Ghost in you out there. You know, when you start believing, something starts happening. The Bible said that the devil would wear out the saints of God, and then the saints would rise and take the kingdom. Is that right? How are we going to rise and take the kingdom? By believing. By believing. When we rise up and begin to believe, come on now. When we begin to believe that cancer can't hurt us, TB can't hurt us, paralysis can't hurt us, insanity can't hurt us, death can't hurt us, nobody can hurt us, then we'll take the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? It's within you. Hallelujah. How do you know you have to inherit the kingdom by faith? The kingdom of God's not something you can see with your eye. Isn't that right? It's another dimension. Isn't that right? So then what you do, you believe your way into it. How have you already been translated into the kingdom of God? Let me see your hand. The Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Is that right? The law and the prophets till John, the kingdom come now, Lord, thy will be done. Why? On earth as it is in heaven. How do you believe the kingdom come at Calvary? Thy kingdom come. Isn't that right? Now your will be done. That's why we sing that song, let thy will be done. Isn't that right? Can we sing that little chorus, let thy will be done? You know what bothers people about you? You know what bothers them about you? They come here and they take a look. Yep, sounds pretty good. But then they're all tore up when they say, my God, these people really believe that. They really believe what that fella said. And that tears them up, you know. They're not used to that. They're used to just having church service and saying something. Everybody saying, hallelujah, amen, and go outside. And somebody saying, you don't believe that stuff. But they realize you really believe it. And it tears them up. That makes them feel like they're left out. Isn't that right? Let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. Sing it with me. It's in thy shining glory that we see your Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let thy will be done. Can you sing it again? Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in God's Son. It's in thy shining glory we see thy Holy One. I hope is to be like Him. Oh, thy will done. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me.
Praise God, it's
changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me.
It is
changing me. You're the light. How the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Do you feel like it's changing you tonight? Do you? Do you feel like it's changing you tonight? You really feel like there's a change taking place? Change from glory to glory. The light of His unveiled face is changing us tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. I want you to lift your hands up with me. And if you're sick tonight, I want to pray for you. Folks, listen to me. Don't die a premature death. Don't do that. You don't have to. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Don't let the devil kill you in such a beautiful age when there's so much to be done. Don't let him do it. You know, there's more ways to kill a fellow than one. You can be drunk off of the cares of life and get your mind on the flesh and the things of the world and be dead as you can be. Don't let Satan do that. Do something for God. You are a great thing. Did you know that? You are a great thing. A person, a human being is a great thing. When a human being's lost, that's a great loss. That's a great thing. That's a thing that can become a god. And live eternally and have eternal power, eternal riches, and eternal wealth. A human being. Don't let the devil kill you. Let's do something for Jesus. Let's rise up and take the kingdom, can we? Possess it forever and ever. I think the world's had it long enough, don't you? Amen. The Bible said the violence taketh it by force, and they took it by force, and it's about time we took it away from them. Let's just rise up and take it anyway. Is that right? Hallelujah. Let's just slip our hands up while they're playing on the organ here, the piano. And I want to pray for you tonight. And I want to pray with all the sincerity of my heart. And I believe that God will hear me when I pray. I really believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't pray. But I believe God will hear us when we pray. The Bible said, if our heart condemn us not, that's why I tell you to lay aside the weights. Lay aside the little things that would bring condemnation. Lay aside the little thoughts, the little things you say. They don't look too big till you get in the presence of God. But if our hearts condemn us not, then do we have confidence to God. And whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive. Because we do the things that please Him. We do the things that keeps our conscience clear. Isn't that right? That pleases Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, that is, that He's existent, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Is that right? He is your rewarder, folks. He is your rewarder. He is your rewarder. You got to believe that He wants to reward you. That's why you have to leave off those little petty things through life. That makes you believe that He favors you. He don't favor you because you do that. He favors you because of the blood of Jesus. But that condemnation gets between you and Him if you don't lay those things aside, and it makes you an unbeliever in His favor. It doesn't change His favor. Isn't that right? Are you listening now? Can your unbelief make God's faith of none effect? No. Just because you disbelieve, that don't change the fact that you're sanctified by His faith. It just cuts you off from it because you didn't believe it. So do the little thing that's right. Then do we have confidence with God. When we have the confidence toward God, then we know that He hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know the Bible tells us that we have the petition that we desire of him. Do you desire anything of him tonight? Do you have any confidence toward him tonight? All right, turn your confidence toward him tonight. That's faith. Turn your confidence now. This is our confidence. Whatever we ask of him, he hears us. We know he hears us. We have what we ask. Is that right? Is that right? Abraham was strong in faith. Strong in faith. He didn't waver. He was strong in faith. Isn't that right? He had confidence in God. Turn your confidence in God tonight. Lean all together on the sanctification of his blood tonight. Lean all together on the sanctification of his blood tonight. Lean all together on his faith tonight. Because that's what your faith is to believe in his faith. So trust in his faith all together. Say, Lord, your faith did it. Your faith did it. Your faith did it. Hallelujah, your faith did it. Did what? Saved you. Did what? Healed you. Did what? Made you just right in the presence of God. Hallelujah, Lord, I believe you did it. I believe God accepted what you did. Is that right? You believe that? I believe God accepted. I believe everything's all right because you did it. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray, I point these people to Calvary. And oh Lord, there the blood was spilt. Oh, hallelujah. There, God, the atoning blood was spilt. And dear God, that blood still is on our behalf today. For Father, the high priest took it into the heavens. Hallelujah, Father, he took it into the holies of holies. And Father, that blood tonight on the mercy seat, right there before you tonight, that vesture dipped in blood, reminds you of Calvary every time I look in that direction. And oh God, I'm asking you to be reminded of Calvary tonight. Stretch forth your healing hand, Jesus. Look at the blood on the mercy seat tonight, God. And heal tonight. Heal tonight. Heal tonight and save tonight. And forgive sins tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, through your Spirit, through the shed blood, hallelujah. Father, knowing that you're the high priest, that you've entered into the very holies of holies in the presence of the eternal God. Father, tonight I pray, looking at that atonement tonight, through the name of the Son that gave it. And oh God, I call upon the name of that atonement tonight. Hallelujah. And I know tonight, oh God, that the great pardon of heaven is not a pardon unless I accept it. I realize that tonight, God. Lord, to have that great pardon, I've got to have faith in the promise. And God, you gave it to me at Calvary. And oh, Father, I know that the blood is applied in my behalf tonight. And I'm pardoned from sin tonight. And I'm pardoned from sickness tonight. And I'm pardoned from poverty tonight. And I'm pardoned from every evil tonight. By the faith of Christ, that was sufficient, Lord. And through that blood tonight, hallelujah, I seek the life of Christ. And I ask in Jesus' name that every person be healed tonight. I ask that every person be forgiven tonight. I ask that the sins be taken away tonight, Jesus. And every person can go free tonight. Hallelujah. God, that every one of them can have a pardon tonight. Let them accept the pardon, Father. In the name of Jesus, let them believe that by faith in Christ, they're pardoned from evil tonight. Pardoned from sickness and suffering tonight. Oh God, that you took it all away. For I ask it in Jesus' name. I ask you to heal. Help them to believe. Help them to believe. Help them to confess it in their heart, their minds, in their spirits, and with their lips. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we sing one more chorus tonight? Have you believe he pardoned you tonight? The song said, Jesus signed my pardon and I can now go free. Okay, the little chorus we sang so much, I'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love We'll sing about God's love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonders for love one more time. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. To sing about God's love, to sing about God's love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you sing of His love tonight? We will give